Hi, everyone. I just wanted to jump on before we get started and let you know that we had some internet issues with this episode. We've still got great content to share with you, but be aware that there may be a couple of spots that aren't as high quality as normal. Let's get into our episode. You are listening to the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome back to this week's episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, and thank you for listening. Joining me today is Andrew Leary, Director of Sustainable Tourism and Partnerships at Leave No Trace, and Cody Hood, a North Alabama ambassador. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Happy to be here.
Great. I'm excited to talk more about Leave No Trace and what this program offers North Alabama. I'd like to start by telling our listeners a little bit about our guests and what they do. Andrew, will you take a minute to explain Leave No Trace? And then Cody, you can follow with what you do as a North Alabama ambassador.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Leave No Trace, I manage the organization's strategic education partnerships that exist in the travel and tourism industry. And we see that as a really meaningful and, in our opinion, mission critical way to reach people who are spending time in the outdoors with effective, responsible recreation know-how and the information they need to be really great stewards of the outdoors, no matter how they're enjoying being outside.
Cool. Okay, Cody?
So I, as an ambassador, get outdoors and share, you know, on Instagram, social media, mainly the forest that's closest to my house, which would be Bankhead, but several of the outdoor places to go visit in North Alabama, and just let people, you know, experience the history and the beauty that is in our state.
Cool. That is so neat. Both of y'all's roles here, and you're both involved in such a great cause that is beneficial to North Alabama and the tourism industry here. Now, on a previous podcast, we talked with another North Alabama ambassador, Robert Posey, about how Visit North Alabama got started with Leave No Trace. So I kind of want to recap that a little bit. It goes back to 2020 when a lot of new to the outdoors people were getting outside and for fresh air, for exercise, and just to get out of the house. And so Robert, who visited a lot of our waterfalls and everything, had noticed at Martis Mills Falls, popular waterfall near Bluntsville, that there was a lot more trash out there. And so he and his daughter just started picking up some trash. And he said he noticed, you know, people started joining in as they were picking up trash. And so then he reached out to me and asked, you know, like, what can we do? Can I do some videos to kind of educate people? And so as an organization, you know, we talked about it. We thought about ways that we could do. And so we reached out to Leave No Trace. And, well, the rest is history. We became partners with them. Okay, so I've got some questions for Andrew and Cody. Andrew, what are some of the Leave No Trace principles?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, there are 7 Leave No Trace principles. And some of those principles include plan ahead and prepare. Some of those principles include respect wildlife, be considerate of other people in the outdoors. Really, the 7 principles represent a set of guidelines that help people make responsible decisions when they spend time outdoors. These 7 principles are based on a scientific understanding of how negative impacts occur as a result of recreation and leisure, but they also represent a really easy, simple to action that anyone can take to reduce negative ecological as well as social impacts that really are unknowingly taking place when people spend time outdoors. Leave No Trace has a tremendous impact to help educate and inform people who just simply didn't know the impacts were occurring. And that's the majority of impacts that are taking place. Trash and litter that you see out there, impacts to vegetation. Most people are not going out and purposely just dumping their trash into a pristine waterfall area, for instance. It's micro trash and other things that get blown away. They fall out of a pocket. Oh, I thought I'd put it in my bag, but it didn't end up in my bag. So our 7 principles help to inform people and make them a bit more prepared so that they can help take any action to help be a steward of the area that they're visiting.
Yeah. And I remember when we first started talking about Leave No Trace and everything, and that was encouraging to know that, you know, the majority of people really just don't know, and that the goal then is to educate and to help people become aware of some of these things that they just maybe, like you said, just did not know. So, Cody, this question is for you. How do you find the balance between enjoying the places you're visiting while also leaving no trace and making sure to keep the natural beauty preserved?
So on some of the trails that I visit, you know, what garbage I do see, I try to pick up. As Andrew was saying, a lot of times it's the little micro trash. You pull apart the wrapper on your granola bar and the little piece of wrapper comes off and it blows out your hand, or you think you put it in your pocket and it blows away. A lot of the areas I've actually been surprised as of late, as much foot traffic has that there has been, hasn't had as much garbage as what you would think that there is from people visiting and hiking out in these areas. Some of the problem here is more local kids riding around throwing out garbage as they're riding the back roads. Some of the other big ones, another one would be making sure you contain a campfire and put it out well as you're leaving to minimize your campfire impacts. We had a few years back where the area known as Big Tree had caught on fire from somebody's campfire and burned a good bit of acreage out in Bankhead. And then one of the other issues is leave what you find. You know, there's the saying, take only pictures, leave only footprints.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, I appreciate that. So we've talked a lot about, you know, like not throwing trash down and cleaning up after yourself, and then that accidental trash as being one of the principles there. But another principle that I wanted to touch on that I feel is very important is staying on the trails and just sticking to what's already there. Andrew, could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, trails are such an amazing feature of the way that we can explore the outdoors, whether it's on foot, on wheels, with bicycle, or maybe ATV where it's allowed, certainly horseback, things like that. But really what trails represent, this amazing feature of the outdoors, which is this purposely built pathway that is meant to support a very high volume of human traffic. What that does is trails themselves are, we call them durable surfaces. So they're resistant to the impacts from a lot of people or animals or tires going over them. And they're resilient, meaning it takes a lot to be able to change a trail. You can certainly do it. But generally speaking, trails are this really great durable surface that allow us to get to different areas. So maybe to explore that really great waterfall, or maybe to go kind of ridge to ridge to check out different places, and it allows us to get up steeper inclines, and they're purposely built. And I think trails, there are some places where off-trail travel is allowed. It's encouraged in a lot of places in the U.S., but there are definitely some areas, certainly in North Alabama, where off-trail travel can be a safety hazard too, with the cave networks that have an overgrowth of vegetation around them, certainly the edge of a cliff band, or an amphitheater or something like that. So staying on trail from one aspect is there to help mitigate safety issues that could turn into a really big emergency really quickly if people aren't paying attention. And I mentioned it earlier on, but I think secondly, the greatest feature that a trail can offer us is that it allows everybody who wants to spend time in the outdoors the ability to do so without harming the nature that's going on either side of the trail. So the vegetation, the trees, the soil, things like that. Again, because trails are purposely built, they're compacted, they're meant to be durable. So in especially North Alabama, but a lot of places where, you know, stay on the trails, you're going to get a great experience in the outdoors from the trail. And it's a great feature and something to take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about the caves, because I remember when we were working on the principles and making it North Alabama specific, one of the things that we uncovered in the research was that there are over 4,000 discovered caves in North Alabama, which makes it a caving hotspot. So, you know, that's a good reason right there to stay on trail, because you just never know what you might find. So, Andrew, how do we know then what is an established trail?
Yeah, that's a great question. Most established trails, the ones that are purposely built by land managers, are going to appear on maps. They're going to be at the trailhead sign wherever you park your vehicle. They might be on some of those apps that you use for finding trails or finding hikes, things like that. You can also identify them because they're Generally, they look like they've been created by humans on purpose. Sometimes trail builders will actually use machines to cut, they call it cutting tread. So there are some characteristics that you can utilize to understand this is where I should be. There might be signage that points you along the way. There are a lot of trails that get created when people hike off main trails. So when they trample vegetation, when they compress the soil underneath, and it basically makes it look as if there's a trail here, but really it's an undesignated trail. It was created because people were venturing off. And Cody, I bet you see a lot of those in Bankhead just because of all the different waterfalls that are probably not along the main trail.
Yeah, so the vast majority of your waterfalls in Bankhead are all off trail. And you just need to try to, if you're going to hike to that waterfall, to try to stay on that social trail and not make, you know, six or seven other little trails go into this one waterfall. Maybe you could just stay on the one social trail that's already been somewhat established.
Okay, yeah, that's some good advice to know, because we know that there's a lot of things to see, a lot of waterfalls. You mentioned that, you know, Bankhead is the land of 1,000 waterfalls, so there's a lot out there to see. So thanks. Another principle that I'd like to talk about that's kind of, I guess it could be somewhat controversial, is sharing the outdoors. And I know we all have different ways that we like to, you know, experience the outdoors. Some people like to listen to music when they're outdoors. Some people like the sounds that you hear when you're outdoors, the birds, the waterfall rushing, you know, the creeks running or whatever. Andrew, could you talk a little bit about the sharing the outdoors principle?
Yeah, so share the outdoors or be considerate of others is another way that it might be phrased. But the basic idea is that everybody who is outdoors is there for a reason. And your reason for being outdoors may not be the same as my reason or Cody's reason or Malia's reason. And so as a sign of respect, as a sign of consideration for other people, we want to acknowledge that somebody, how they're experiencing outdoors is, for the most part, it's appropriate. We want to give them the benefit of the doubt. So for example, my version of experiencing the outdoors may not include music, but somebody else's version of experiencing the outdoors might include music. And the outdoors is a big enough space where if I'm being impacted by somebody else, I'm going to first start with me and say, how can I, you know, change my situation? So that's one way just to cope kind of with the things that may come up. Because for some people, music is a coping mechanism. And there are a lot of people who need that external audio or sound as a part of their experience. And that's something I think we should respect. But at the same time, when we're like planning ahead for how can we spend time in the outdoors together, especially around music, if music is something you enjoy, using headphones is a great way that you can do that. And there's so much technology out there that allows us to use headphones with a wire, without a wire, something that goes over our ears, something that goes in our ears. So rather than taking the Bluetooth speaker to play music that's hanging off your backpack, consider using headphones so that you can still enjoy the outdoors in the way that you like it. But then somebody else who's really there to hear nature, to hear the birds, to experience the rushing waterfall sounds, they can have their experience as well.
Yeah, okay. Cody, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like he said about just using headphones. If you feel the need to listen to music, you know, just be respectful of the other people out there. Not everybody also wants to hear the same music that you may be playing as well or care to hear it whatsoever.
It's true. That's a good point. Yep. Earbuds, headphones, they've been game changers for us for a long time, huh? Okay. Well, another topic that I would like to talk about that kind of goes along the lines of being respectful and sharing the outdoors is geotagging. And it has been something that has come up. I've seen it on different pages that I follow. You know, some people are completely against it and some people are completely for it. And so I'd really like to get your thoughts, Andrew, about the positives of geotagging.
You know, I think there are so many benefits that can come from geotagging. It's really, technology has given everybody such access to information, and geotagging in particular can be a great way to help align, help plan trips, maybe help align your expectations. And what I mean by that is that, you know, grain of salt, what you see on social media and the geotag may not be what you see when you are actually there. A lot of images don't show the crowds. They aren't showing you the things that are behind the camera, but the geotag can still show you these beautiful places, maybe a waterfall that you're interested in seeing. And so we can use that as a planning tool. And there's, I think, previous generations, and I include myself in there, using guidebooks and things like that to plan our trips with technology and how accessible things are. Geotagging is a way that a lot of people plan their trips and do it in a way that feels comfortable and safe for them. And so I think responsibly geotagging certain areas, especially if the content that's being shared is maybe an inspirational picture or something that's great about a location, but it's also promoting stewardship and leave no trace and encouraging others to take care of these areas. All those things combined can have a really positive impact for the person who is seeing that geotagged image and be like, oh, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to check out, but I'm going to remember to stay on the trail because of safety, or I'm going to remember to bring my headphones or other things so I can be considerate of the other people who I know are going to be on the trail, even if this image is showing absolutely nobody on the trail.
Yeah. And so what would be some of the reasons against geotagging then?
I think the reasons against geotagging at this point, if I'm basing it off of scientific empirical research that exists, it's pretty subjective. So what I mean by that is a reason for not geotagging might be because I hear this a lot in the tourism industry, this idea of over-tourism. There are too many people visiting. Too many people are finding out about the secret spot that once used to be secret, but now is overrun with a lot of people. So I think it's the reasons against geotagging, I think, might be just as subjective as the reasons for it. But I do think that embracing it as a technology and a way to help promote stewardship and leave no trace in areas rather than rejecting it is something that invites other people to be a part of this stewardship movement, especially a place like North Alabama and all these places that maybe have seen a big uptick since the pandemic and a lot of people visiting as a means to get out of their homes and spend time outdoors. So I think it there can be so many benefits, even if there are a lot of perceived personal kind of negative connections with geotagging or what the perception is that geotagging is bringing into an area. And again, nobody's studying this. This hasn't been researched. I'll say it hasn't been researched yet because I know there are some kind of questions that are floating out there, but there's nothing been published to say that as a result of geotagging, this place is seeing more impacts. It's a lot of people think that, but I think benefit of the doubt, how can we use this technology as something for good to promote stewardship in North Alabama and encourage people to leave no trace while they're enjoying the outdoors?
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, people getting outdoors in North Alabama, and that was one aspect of our tourism industry that just flourished during the pandemic. Our campgrounds, you know, our outdoor locations, outdoor attractions, people really did go out to those quite a bit. And Cody, can you speak on how we could be more responsible with geotagging, especially like from a tourism standpoint?
Well, I mean, you know, I basically see it as, one, the information is already out there. Some of your high use areas, maybe two, some of the people that have been to these areas several times, maybe lay off going there for somebody to do, you know, that hasn't been there can go to. So if we can kind of educate the people on cleaning up your garbage and being respectful, you know, that would help out as well. You know, just trying to educate people to some of these principles.
Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, leave no trace, that, you know, at its essence is about education, that, you know, that's the root of all of this, is just telling people what they don't know so that when they go outdoors that they can, you know, be better stewards and do the outdoors in a, you know, in the best way possible. So, okay, cool. Yeah. Cause you know, when I'm a social media manager, as y'all know, so, you know, when I'm looking for user generated content, I mean, of course, the things in North Alabama, I pretty much know where they are by looking at them. But, you know, it's kind of hard that if you want to share something if it doesn't have a location and you're not sure what the location is. And so, you know, that's kind of been a struggle from my standpoint of it's hard to just share something and people are like, oh, where is this? Where is it? Well, I don't know. I just thought this picture was cool, but you know, the person didn't tag where it was. So, you know, from a tourism standpoint, a social media manager, you know, it is difficult not knowing. But like y'all both have said, of just, you know, knowing these principles and being responsible for your actions. So
from Leave No Traces perspective, we always ask people to, you know, think about how can you geotag responsibly? And so one example of that might be, let's say there's a really great waterfall in the state park. So rather than tagging the waterfall itself, if that's something that you don't, you know, doesn't feel right to you, but you still want to kind of promote what this is or promote the area because it's meaningful for you, then maybe consider promoting the state park instead, because people who visit state parks are funding state parks. So it's a good thing when people visit state parks. You don't have to put the exact location if that doesn't feel comfortable for you. You can generalize it. You can put a region. You can say North Alabama. There are a lot of different ways that you can be pro-stewardship, pro-responsibility when thinking about geotagging. If putting the exact location doesn't feel good to you, but you still would like to somehow indicate where you are.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, I appreciate that. From all of your work with Leave No Trace, what is one piece of information you've learned that would be beneficial for tourists or people around nature to know? Andrew, you can start and then Cody can follow.
I mean, it starts with the first principle of Leave No Trace, which is plan ahead and prepare, or know before you go is another way to say it. But the more that you can prepare yourself for where you're going and what to expect and align your expectations to that, I think the more successful you're going to be and the more fun you're going to have. And so that means, like, where am I going to park and what am I going to do if the parking lot is full? Do I have another place that I'd like to go instead because parking along the side of the road is dangerous? Am I going to rely on a digital map on my phone? And if so, I know there's not a lot of cell phone coverage in some parts of North Alabama, so maybe I shouldn't expect that there's cell phone coverage in some of these really wooded, you know, waterfall heavy areas. So what's my backup plan for a different type of map? And is the place I want to go the place that my kids or my family or the people I'm with, can they also go there? Are they beginners? Am I an intermediate? Things like that. So this idea of planning your trip ahead really makes all the difference. And you don't have to do months and months of planning. Of course, you could do that. And a lot of people plan their trips in that way. But really, from our perspective at Leave No Trace, there is no, it's not binary. It's not you're doing it or you're not. It's every little bit makes a difference. And so if you plan for 6 months in advance, great. If you plan 2 hours ahead of the time you're going out, great. That's 2 hours more than you might have done otherwise. So any little bit of planning makes a difference. And you can research where you're going through the internet, through social media, through blog posts, through a lot of different things, guidebooks. There's so much information out there. Just spend a little bit of time doing it to understand where you're going so you don't get yourself into certainly any kind of safety situations. But again, so your expectations are aligned so that you can have a really great time spending time with the people that you love, with your family in the outdoors, and walk away feeling satisfied.
Cool. Cody?
And then kind of bounce off of what Andrew said about the plan ahead and prepare. It also helps to let a friend or family member know where you're planning to be, maybe a time frame you expect to kind of be back. You have it from time to time where people do get lost out, you know, in Bankhead. People sometimes don't even have an idea of where their family member was supposed to be. They were just in Bankhead. Well, it's 180,000 plus acres, you know, they're trying to cover. So it helps to let people know. Even as many times as I've been out there and as experienced as I am out there, I let my wife know, some of my friends, that when they're going to as experienced as they are, they'll, you know, message me and let me know, hey, I'm going to be, you know, in this area. So if something does happen, it kind of narrows it down.
Okay. Yeah, those are definitely good tips. And I like what Andrew said about not relying on cell phone service. And Cody, you've talked about that hiking in Bankhead, that there's no service out there. So you cannot rely on a phone. And I know that at the Land Trust trails, they have like a picture of the map of the trail. And so, you know, take a picture of that, snap a picture of that on your phone. And that way you've got it. Cause you're not going to be able to look it up on a website, you know, in most of these outdoor locations. So those are very good points. Thanks. Okay. This week on Facebook, I asked our followers what question they wanted answered. And this was the winning question. How can someone get involved with Leave No Trace?
Well, the easiest way is to start to learn about the seven principles of Leave No Trace, if you aren't familiar with them already, and start incorporating those into the outdoor experiences that you have. Again, you don't, it's not an all or nothing deal. You don't have to do all seven principles or it doesn't count. Start with plan ahead and prepare, and then work through the other principles and build those guidelines into how you can be more responsible when you recreate outside. Again, most impacts occur kind of unknowingly to us. We're not aware that they're going on. We don't see them. We don't see the impact that we cause today because it shows up tomorrow. So I'd say start with the seven principles of Leave No Trace. And if you're already there, if you're looking for more ways to get involved, the Leave No Trace organization is certainly a great place where you can learn more, like what are the next steps? How can I volunteer? How can I get involved with things that are going on in North Alabama or wherever you call home? So you can visit lnt.org. That's the website for the Leave No Trace organization.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's amazing to know that the tourism industry is doing so much to make sure nature is protected while also being enjoyed. Now, for our listeners out there, where can they find you on social media, Cody?
The biggest one being Instagram. It would be Insane Outdoors, insane with an E.
Okay. And Andrew, where can we find Leave No Trace on social media?
You can find the Leave No Trace organization across all the major social media platforms, certainly Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Just go ahead and search for Leave No Trace organization, and you should be able to find it no problem.
Great. And North Alabama social platforms are linked in the description. Of course, you can find us at Visit North Alabama on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, Pinterest, all of it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama's adventures. This has been another episode of the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Hames and produced by Relic.